you're going to create new stained glass, you look at the quantity of windows, the sizes, and, you know, you talk to your to the parishioners or to the members of the church, and you try to gather all the information from them of what sort of theme, religious theme, that they want to reflect in the windows. And so that's how we mostly develop, you know, a theme for the stained glass windows. For example, we'll go like from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Things like, you know, start off with the creation and maybe end with the, you know, with Moses and the burning bush, and then start the New Testament with the nativity, something like that, and end it with the, you know, the resurrection or the ascension. So that's what we try to do. We try to represent the church and reflect that in the theme of the stained glass windows.
Employees coming in here working on a project that might take a year and a half to complete because it is detail oriented or it's 50,000 square feet of mosaic that takes detail and time. It's not AI is going to create it in 30 seconds and here it is. And I worry for our economy and our workforce on how do we bring that patience back to something as meaningful as the work you're doing.
Fortunately, at least in the market that we address with Sacred Spaces, the client understands this is not something that we're going to get quickly. And occasionally we'll have a few clients that have a bit of an unreasonable expectation.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. That's sort of on our part. That's our job to manage that and try to make sure they understand what's realistic in accordance with what most studios can do and also in accordance with what our current backflow is.
Stained glass is really, really, really much more heavily than people realize constricted in a design sense, because there are a lot of, it's an architectural art.
So you first have to build a structurally sound window.
Right. You have to build a design that is structurally sound. And you have things like the size of the panels. The window has to be reinforced, and that has to be designed into the design. And it's not anything that anybody would look at the window and say, oh yeah, I see how they did that. When you look at a large stained glass window, you're going to see that there are separate components. There is a structural frame that holds all those panels, which is different from the structure that has to be designed into the window, because it's heavy. It's glass and lead, you know? So you have to devise a way to keep the window from bowing under its own weight or sinking and all that. So there are the rebars that are applied to the window. You may have seen some of that.
Yeah.
And those attach behind the framework. And what they do is they transfer some of the weight to the frame and also strengthen the window. But that's not what people look at when they see a stained glass window. But it's there.
I've been in the religious, all faiths have some sort of storytelling in their buildings, and stained glass is often used. But how do they come to you and say, I have a vision for this piece of work? Or is it a lot of restoration from these churches and buildings that already exist?
Well, it's all kind of different and unique, and it's tailored sort of specifically to the congregation. So, for example, there was a church in, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing the town right, I believe it's Hoyston, and I believe that the name of it is Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. Well, this church blew up from a natural gas explosion, and one of their parishioners perished because of that. So now they're building a new church. So back in, I think it about 18 years ago, Hurricane Rita came through Beaumont and Port Arthur and practically destroyed St. Mary's Catholic Church in Port Arthur. So I was approached by the Diocese of Beaumont if I wanted to buy their stained glass windows. So they were taking bids on it. And I was fortunate enough to get the stained glass windows, and the theme of those windows were the mysteries of the rosary.
Oh, wow.
So at that time, you know, there were three mysteries of the rosary. We didn't have the luminous yet. So you know, I made a deal with the diocese. Mm-hmm. They have what they call a chattels, which is, you know, an agreement. It's like a deed, almost. Yeah. And I bought the stained glass windows, and I held them for 18 years. You know, I stored them for 18 years. And then when Our Lady of the Holy Rosary called us, and they were entertaining a bid from us for some stained glass windows in their sacred spaces, mm-hmm. A flash bulb lit up in my head. Yeah, and I looked at Adrian and, you know, my son, and I said, please suggest the mysteries of the rosaries to them. You know, and they're beautiful windows. They're Munich style, and they're beautiful. You know, they're just beautifully done. And so he sent some pictures to one of the committee members, and she just fell in love with them. Okay. It spoke to her, you know, and it was just almost clear sailing from then on to, you know, to get the commission, mm-hmm. you know. So now we have to create the luminous mysteries to blend in with the existing mysteries, you know. So that gave me great satisfaction in the fact that there was one disaster in Port Arthur from a hurricane.
Yeah, no, take your time. It comes full circle.
Yeah.
What a beautiful piece, though, to be able to capture it in the moment and have a reason for it, but not knowing that reason.
Yeah. And I had people, you know, they wanted to break the set apart and, oh, I just want the resurrection. I said, no. I said, I'm going to keep it together.
Whenever it comes to selecting something that's going to be appropriate for the space in terms of the religious symbolism, in terms of the aesthetic, you know, with the architecture, it does take, and we've got, you know, so Cavallini started in 1953, so 70 plus years in the company. As individuals, you know, 40, 30 years of experience, adding it up, you know, hundreds of years of experience between multiple people. So, and even our artists need to go back and do some research and mm-hmm. make sure, you know, all the details are exactly correct. And it's worth taking that extra time just to make sure that you are providing a product that you're going to be proud of and something that they're going to be proud of ultimately too.
How do you do that in the old craftsman ways that you're making windows today? Mm-hmm. You're designing them. Mm-hmm. I compare that to how we do design work on cars or on modern things. Mm-hmm. I can generate it on a computer and look at it and test it, and mm-hmm. I feel really good with it before I do any physical work. Mm-hmm. Do you do the same thing here, or are you really going back to laying it out, seeing it in your mind? Like, how do you... And my question really comes in today's work, it's instant gratification. I can mm-hmm. throw it up and AI can help me design it, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that, I didn't see any of that in your workshop.
Oh, I know there's definitely a place for all of that. Mm-hmm. But the question becomes, when you get to the aesthetic part of it, I do know what I draw on, and I don't know what's going to be drawn on in the future in order to generate a legitimate, valid design that'll be unique to the situation. Because that's our strong point, is that we cater everything to the specifics of the situation with the, you know, the church, the committee, the minister, the building, mm-hmm. all of that comes into my process in terms of what you present. And that's what I cater my designs to. It's not like, it's kind of about me, but it's not really.
But you hear from your customer. Hear from the congregant that mm-hmm. says, and Mr. Cavallini explained, start with the church's name, mm-hmm. and you can understand a mm-hmm. little bit directionally where they're going to go.
Right.
I am really impressed by the work you're doing, putting yourself out there digitally and taking an old world, old economy business, and transitioning it into the excitement of the modern world, but still holding on to, this is an artisan product. And I'm excited to see what you do over the next year, putting that out and helping people understand how it's made, why it's made, and then the testimonies from customers. And you know this, but I've been thrilled to hear it as I've called around, is whether they're the donor that helped pay for the artwork, or they're the parish that made the investment, or they benefited from that investment, it's a meaningful thing. And people do it to memorialize their parents or memorialize their relationship with their parish. And it's a meaningful investment, and it goes a long way. And I'm thrilled to see people moved in that way by the work that you're doing.
And another thing is that, you know, these investments, they are lasting really multi-generationally.
Right.
So something that their kids and grandkids will most likely, you know, be able to enjoy and benefit from. So the work we do today, our plan is for it to long outlast us. And that's kind of the investment that's made.